Hey, I'm Loredana.
And I'm Christina.
And welcome to Spirit Says. Hi, Chris. How are you?
Lori. Good. How are you?
I'm good. I feel like we haven't done this in a while.
No, we haven't. It's my fault.
No, it's not your fault. You are enjoying life, which is what we're going to be talking about today, which is what all these yamas are about, right? So
yeah, it's thank you for saying that. So I feel better now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good. So in that, we're just going to conclude this and go home. Yeah,
and that's what it's about. It's just about making your friend feel good. That's all you need to know.
No, but I mean, it's true though, right? I mean, you were enjoying yourself with your family.
Yeah, we went to, exactly. I mean, honestly, we were in such a weird place. I don't know about my daughter and my husband being in a weird place, but I specifically was in a weird place where I felt like, you know, for the past year, it was just kind of like, I couldn't move. So being able to say, okay, let's go on this little mini vacay to Philadelphia. It's only 3 days. It's close to home. And also it's a lot of outdoor just walking and being in the city and stuff like that, which we can't really do too much right now, I feel, in Manhattan, because not that I've been there, but I just keep hearing like people who have been there just tell me it's like so different right now. And yes. Also, you know, like what happened, I don't want it to, I feel better because there's less people in Philadelphia. So you're not like as congested. So you could walk around and explore the city.
But, and it's different, right? I mean, was this your first time in Philly or no?
We've actually been there two other times. One time was for my daughter's school trip. She's in a, she's in a program where they do like extra stuff. And there was a museum. I can't remember what the hell museum this was. I'm sorry. Hell.
It's all good.
I'm like, I can't, what my daughter's actually sitting right here at me. What museum was it? Oh, we went with her whole, we went with her, your whole school. That's right. Okay. Forget that. But, so we went with her school once. Another time we went, and I don't even know why we went, but this time we went and we had a fantastic time walking around. They have like at least 36,000 murals in Philadelphia.
I
that
couldn't
are
believe that. Outdoor. I mean, when I went years ago, I don't remember any of that. I mean, that was, I mean, you literally were just like walking into a big, huge gallery the entire time. That's awesome. That's
it was so cool. Amazing. Yeah. They were so beautiful and detailed. And I've never really seen that before, honestly, where there's so many outdoor murals on the sides of brick buildings and just the details and the pictures and the faces. And I was actually taking a picture of something, and then I turned around, my husband was talking to somebody who was a local, and he was across the street, and he was like, yeah, you know, he saw us taking pictures of the murals, and he was like, yeah, we did these pictures we got it so that the kids can get together and you know, not be doing restless things, I guess, like being mischievous on the streets and stuff like that.
So, right.
And, you know, if
so this was like a project that came together to sort of like help, you know, help like give the kids or, you know, something to do other than like hanging out and just, you know, doing nothing all day. That's
absolutely
very cool.
Right?
That's very, like, very cool.
Getting yourself into trouble.
I mean, that's kind of what happens, right? You just like, when you're not given the opportunities or the programs or, you know, whatever that might be, you definitely are going to find yourself hanging out with your friends all day, you know, meaningless. Not that you shouldn't hang out, but I'm saying like, if there's something creative behind it, that's awesome. That's so cool. Because again, like, looking at your pictures, I was like, man, that is so awesome. Like literally everywhere you turned, it seemed like there was a new mural, a new picture, even this, like, I felt like you had storefront pictures, right? With like art pictures in them and stuff, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's almost, I never really knew this before, but it's almost like it's an artistic kind of a vibe there.
Yeah.
Also you know, when you're living in that community, it must give you such great pride for your surroundings, right? You want to treat the place that you live properly, and it makes you hold yourself to a higher esteem.
Very, very true. Yeah. So, very, very true.
And also just even respecting your neighbor, you know, like coming together with your neighbors, creating a sense of community. We actually did, they do a lot of that in my neighborhood. Recently, they had this like three art contests or three art, not even contests, activities. And one of them, Cadence actually participated in. I forced her to do it because she's very talented, but she just likes to draw for herself. So we were like, you have to draw a picture of a woman that made a difference. And she, of course, she always opts for Frida Kahlo. That's one of her favorite people to, like, are, you know, women in history to study or discuss. So she did a beautiful Frida Kahlo picture, which everybody loved. And they hung up with a bunch of other gorgeous art pictures at a coffee shop, a local coffee shop.
Very cool. Yeah.
And then other than that, they also have these pictures, you know, those flags that kind of hang off the pole. They're not flags. They're like little posters that hang off poles, and then they'll tell you what's going on in town or whatever. But they it's all kids and people of the neighborhood's artwork on
that
the
is
poles.
So cool.
Yeah,
that is so very cool. I'm telling you, like I said, like I love kids definitely hanging out and getting together, and I believe that playtime is definitely important, you know, socially and all that other stuff. But I do, so today is actually, I'm starting to I call it an after school program, but I'm getting 4 or 5 kids that I know that like to, you know, sketch and do all that stuff. Ooh. And I'm bringing them to a local, it's a band shell, but it's a community band shell, and it's used by the community. So you never have to you never have to reserve it. So I'm just taking like, I think there's like 5 of them all together, and I'm just having them come bring their own art supplies. And I'm just giving them a space to kind of like be creative in their own way. Cause what they were doing is they were coming to the park and they were bringing their sketchbooks. And I'm like, well, wouldn't it be nice to just kind of get all these creatives together, whatever their genre, whatever their media might be, and just have them to get together. And, you know, cause I know you notice, and I notice myself when I'm among other creatives, I get inspired. I feel inspired. I feel like I'm pushed more. I feel like, you know, ideas are bounced around. So, so today is actually our first day. We were going to start it yesterday, and it didn't happen. So we're starting it today. So it's just going to be like an hour to an hour and 15, and they're just going to like sit and bounce ideas off each other, sketch, do, you know, like work on projects, whatever they want to do. And I'm just like giving them the space, you know, other than like sitting in your house and doing it, you know? So,
that's awesome.
Yeah.
Can I just tell you, it's so funny to me. I feel like what going off what you just said, that we inspire each other, but we also give ourselves the freedom to do the things that we want to do.
Right.
And recently we just bumped into somebody on the street talking about like this very thing.
Yeah.
And then I was like, you know, one of us has to initiate it. And just because you said that, I'm now going to initiate it, and I'm going to do it at the band shell by us.
There you go. But seriously, the thing is, we have such a big influx of kids that have come in. I mean, even when we moved here, there's so many, but there's not enough after school programs within our very community. Like we're always traveling out. Like Stella had to go out to go dancing. She had to go out to go take an art class. Like I'd love to keep it local. So instead of waiting for it. So it was me and a bunch of other parents. We're always like, oh, well, maybe if we have a building available to us, maybe, you know, and it's just like what you just said, like, start it yourself. And the fact that we have the freedom to do that, and we have a band shell or a place like to do it. Yeah. I mean, the chairs are there. All I'm bringing is a folding table, and they're bringing their own art supplies, and I'm just giving them the space to do what they want to do. So yeah, definitely get it started. Definitely be the initiative about it. Yeah.
I actually want to do something. I want to do something else beside along with that too in another day, but this is probably pushing it. Remember when we were younger, we used to play wiffle ball on the street, and we used to do like jump rope or double dutch or like roller skating, you know. I feel like it's interesting because it brings across the idea that kids just need ideas, you know. You can it does, they don't have to just get like, yeah, my daughter likes to walk around the neighborhood and stuff like that, but how about like being like, okay, here's a plan, talk to the other parents,
we're gonna
have a day for this, you know, now that we know like the coronavirus isn't like you walk outside and get hit with it, you know,
it's right.
We could go outside and have fun with our friends without the crazy fear that we had.
Right. And just building, like you just said, like sometimes kids need the extra push of the the creativeness of it, you know. So we have a street here that our friend lives on, and it's a dead end street. And one night we all found ourselves there with the kids, and they all like just rode their bikes together. And since that day, that's all they looked forward to. So we were like, all right, like once that's every other week, maybe we'll get together and start doing something like that. But it's like you said, like, yeah, we love walking around our neighborhood, but wouldn't it be nice to actually, like you said, like we grew up doing wiffle ball or handball or freeze tag or whatever it was, like just bringing that back in, you know? So that's cool. Yeah girl, do it. Do it all.
Yeah. You know? We never have to just be like stuck, right? We can always think of something different to do that can help the kids flourish and also just, you know.
And just be a part of your community in some way, you know? So yeah, definitely.
So
yeah.
Mm-hmm. We got a new Yama today.
Mm-hmm.
Yamas and pajamas.
Interesting. Oh, I like that. There you go. Coin that.
That's gonna be my new project. Yamas in pajamas. I don't know what that's gonna look like, but so the name of the Yama today, and this, oh gosh, is this the fifth? No, this is the fourth Yama, or
hold on, let's see. So we did one, two, three. So yeah, I guess this is the fourth one.
The fourth
we did Yama. Ahimsa, Satya, and Asteya. No, it can't be. Really? We're only on the fourth? Right?
Don't you feel like, because we're on Brahmacara, which, oh man, Brahmacara, it's also like written here. Do you have a pronunciation? Brahmacara?
No, I just heard it the way you said it, Brahmacharya. Yeah, Brahmacharya. Just the way, that's
oh, Brahmacharya. What is wrong with me? Mm-hmm. Of course it's Brahmacharya. I was just afraid to say that. I've heard that word a million times. In yoga and stuff like that, Brahmacharya. So it was kind of funny when I first started to read about Brahmacharya, and it's the first thing you hear a bit is celibacy, being continence. And I'm like, that's gonna be fun to talk about with
people. Right, celibacy or abstinence, and it's like,
Yeah,
and it's funny because I remember, I think we discussed this, like, I remember when I heard that, I was like, celibacy, I'm like, or abstinence, I'm like, I can't imagine, like, that, you know, because, that would mean that we're not creating life, right, and for sure,
like, but I wasn't even thinking about that. That's so funny that you said that. You can close that door, my husband's behind me, sneaking.
I see him. What's up? Sneaking around.
He doesn't know we're recording and he's asking me questions right now.
Oh, he thinks we're just hanging out.
Yeah. Well, this is what we normally look like. So
that's true.
What's the difference?
This is true.
And he always wants to get in on that because he loves him some Lori. Okay. So, Brahmacharya. So yes, the first thing we hear about is continence and celibacy, but it's also much more than that. So those are just kind of like the general ideas. So what do we talk about? To be celibate. I always think being celibate means just like, well, like you said, like not having sex. And of course you're thinking about like procreation and stuff like that. Well, how do you do that without, you know, having sex and everything? But then if you read further, it talks more about basically preserving your energy and also limitations. If you want
to. Right, like non-excess. Like it's not saying not to have sex, but to do it in a way that is just enough, I guess, in a way. Like, you know, to not overindulge in it. Like we all have desires, but not to overindulge in it. Matter of fact, I didn't even know until recent years that there were sex addicts, you know, like, oh, yeah. I didn't even know that was a thing. And I'm like, this is a real thing, but it's a real thing. I mean, because you overindulge, you've gone over the mark of enough, of just mm-hmm. enough. You've like to completely overindulge. So I totally get where,
but yeah, you know. And that's kind of interesting because it's kind of like, I don't know what it's like to be an addict to anything. I don't. Mm-hmm. I mean, I do know what it's like to be an addict to chocolate and probably television. But what I don't think that they would qualify that as, you know, being medically addicted to anything. I know that because I looked it up. do I have a problem? No, you just can't stop eating chocolate.
Right.
Just stop. Just put the chocolate down. No, so but it's kind of like, I always think of it as obsession, you know, like you obsess and obsess and obsess over something and you haven't stopped yourself. You haven't caught yourself in the fact that you're obsessing. You haven't separated yourself away from the mind to look at the mind and go, I'm obsessing over something.
Right.
It is taking me in the wrong direction. So, you know, I think that's, of course, one of the beauty of yoga. And yoga, by the way, is, they consider a more of a science than a religion. It's never really considered a religion, and you can put your religion into it if you want. But so when we do science, you know, we analyze, we look, we mm-hmm. analyze our thoughts, and we take a look at our mind and we go, what's happening upstairs? What's going on in my head? And can I take control over it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I'm going to let you talk too.
I mean, I know where you're going with it. And it wasn't until, you know, I read the chapter on Brahmacharya where they talked about, we sometimes overdo things because we have an emotional attachment to whatever it might be. Mm. And we're trying to get back to that old feeling or that continued feeling. So, you know, when I started running over 10 years ago, I'd say even 14, 15 years ago. And I loved that feeling of running. I loved what it gave me. I loved all those things.
Did you get a runner's high afterwards?
Always got a runner's high. So, you know, then life happened, right? And I stopped, I got pregnant, I had Stella. And when I moved up here, I got into a running thing again, but I never really went back to that sort of running. I never got to that feeling again. So then I completely stopped. And if you know where I live, like there are no sidewalks. So in order for you to even get into that feeling again, it's such a mind situation. So, but I'm always telling myself, I can do it. I can do it. I can do it. So I've started in the last 2 years, at least 3 different running programs. I'll reach like week 3 or week 4. And I'm like, I can't do it. But I'm always trying to get back to who I was and in that happy time and in that run as high. And I never reach it. So I'm like overindulging and I overdo it. Mm. Until finally, like maybe 2 weeks ago, I was walking really fast and I was like, what if I just forgave myself and said, I'll run when my body tells me to run and I'll stop when my body tells me to stop and I'll just walk. And it was in doing that I've now reached a point where I love running again. I'm not trying to reach a goal. I'm not trying to reach a past that was, you know, that's no longer there because it was only there. So I think most of the times there is an emotional attachment to the reasons why we overindulge, you know, like we just, you know, like coffee can become an addiction because the emotional attachment that we might have to it is like, oh, you know, I love the, you know, waking up to having that cup, you know, that cup of coffee and that feeling that it gives me of relaxing. Cause I noticed it even during my day, like I'll finish work and I'll be like, oh, you know what? I could really enjoy it. Like I could really use a cup of coffee. And it's like, but do I need it? I just had like, you know what I mean? Like there's an attachment to the things
like
that we do.
Smoking cigarettes, honestly.
Yes, you know? Absolutely.
I mean,
absolutely.
Listen, how many years I've stopped smoking cigarettes. Nobody ever considered me a smoker. Cause I probably did it like occasionally. And then maybe 1 year, like pretty much way too much, kind of like 21 years old.
Right.
I still to this day love smoking cigarettes, and I don't smoke, but I still love it. But I had to stop
the thought,
myself.
The feeling, yeah. Right?
Yeah. You feel relaxed. Yeah. Yep. You feel calm. And now I'm making everybody want to run out and get a pack of cigarettes. No.
but it's so true. There's like that attachment to it. Like that's when, you know, you like smoking cigarettes. It's so true. Like the attachment is like, oh, it just gives me that image of like, I'm just chilling and relaxing. Cause you remember that's when we would do it. We were smoking socially.
Just totally reminded me of those stupid pictures that we have of ourselves.
Oh my goodness. Yes.
We were like, see what we look like smoking. And it was not cute.
Pretty. It was not pretty. Yes. Yes, exactly. Oh my God,
that's so funny. We were like, 19,
but it's like what you said. You were like, shouldn't we just stop and listen to our minds? You know, it's about listening to your mind. And like you said, yoga teaches you to listen, to stop and listen, and to stop and listen to your body. Your body will literally always tell you when you've had enough. Like it will tell you instead of like having the extra piece of chocolate or overdoing the running. Yeah.
That's so funny because a lot of people ignore that too. They think that they wait for the pain to come, and the pain is when you've gone too far.
Right.
The pain is the warning that, okay, now something is like probably too constricted in the body. There's some sort of congestion somewhere, not even just like congestion is in like the liquid form. People think it's like liquid, but it's congestion is in like blood flow is not, well, okay, that is liquid. Blood flow is not, you know, moving properly.
Okay.
And it causes pain. So pain is not the problem. Pain is the signal that you got to start paying attention to this and fix it because it hurts.
Right.
If you go any further, you're going to rip it if it's a muscle or something, you know?
Right.
And even mentally, right? If you're having like pain in your chest, it's usually because, of course, we're talking about mental pain. It's usually because there's, you know, you're doing something in your head that's causing pain. Mm-hmm. In your chest. Of course, I'm not saying that all pain in the chest is mental. You have to get yourself checked out if you do. But like tuning in to the mind to see like, what am I doing too much of that's causing maybe some pain in my hip or because like, for instance, I have scoliosis, so my right leg gets tight, very tight. My right butt cheek gets tight, you know, the right hip gets tight over there. So every single day I have to practice something. And if I don't practice it and I let days go by, it's a stretch, you know, or the muscle releasing, with my massage ball. If I don't practice that, then I actually will get the pain. But what I do now instead is just notice the tightness before it turns into actual pain. So I'll notice I'll practice every day. If I forget to practice, I will notice, is this tight here? And now the tightness tells you right there, you got to do something about this before you're in pain.
And before you overdo it or whatever. Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Yeah. No, it's and it's like you said, like, you know, we're built to believe no pain, no gain, you know?
Yeah, right.
So we have to keep going and going and going to get to it. Or like, you know, we're in certain jobs and there's certain levels we want to reach. So we stay later at work or we overdo the exercise because we want to get fit in, you know, in 30 days, you know, it's like, that is not the point of life. And Brahmacharya actually means, walking with God or the divine. And so meaning sacredness, like the divine is sacred. So we need to find moments of sacredness in our life. And that is the way. And when we find those moments is when we find what actually is enough instead of overindulging. Because when you find sacred in the mundane things and the everyday life, then you'll realize, oh, that is enough. That does make me happy. I don't have to go overshopping for something that I don't actually need because we think that that's going to make us happy, but that's like a momentary happiness.
Although you know? I do like that. That sounds good to me.
No, I know, but it's true, right? Because we always, because the feeling of having something new clothes feels so yeah. good. So we're always looking for that feeling instead of just being happy with what we have. That's why we have 10 pairs of the same jeans. We have 10 pairs of the same shirts because yeah. we're always trying to reach not that me. Time.
I don't shop enough, I will tell you that. But I do have clothes from when I was 20 years old and I'm like, well, I guess I need new clothes now. But no, right. absolutely, like overindulging in shopping because you want to find happiness, but you're using an external thing to fill some sort of void because right. you're not really just paying attention to what is making you unhappy right now.
And so right, right.
really tuning into like, okay, let me just stop. I want to go shopping. Shopping, I feel like, will make me happy. As soon as I get everything I want, I'm going to be in the same exact place I was before I started shopping. I'm not going to be extra happy. I'm not going to be, my life is still going to be the same because I haven't done any changes with and any observations of what I'm actually feeling. And that's causing right. some sort of pain. And it can be the silliest little thing that can be causing you pain, like something not really silly, but like that you think isn't a big deal, but it's actually right. maybe a thought that you're hanging on to that you need to just let mm-hmm. wash out of you, you know?
Right. 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 Right.
Not letting it happen because you want to either deny it or replace it with some cute shoes.
I like that. Deny it or replace it. And it's so true because you know, it's scary to sit in the pain. It's scary to sit in the fear. It's scary mm-hmm. to know what it is that's bothering you. So our first solution to anything scary is to run away from it. We're like, I'm going to run. I'm going to go to store. I'm going to go be busy. I'm going to go.
Right?
Yes, totally. Totally. Or even like, I notice it even sometimes like the house, like I feel like I need to reward myself. Right. So I went to work, come home. And I'm like, I'm just going to sit here and like, just watch Netflix. Cause I have, you know, 2 hours watch. To do it. Mm-hmm. Just binge watch for no reason whatsoever when I can actually just sit in silence or allow myself the nap, you know, mm-hmm. so often, like I'm tired and I'm like, oh man, I can't take a nap now. Like that's going to totally like, you know, like who am I to take a nap during the middle of the day? But it's mm-hmm. like, listen to your body, take the nap. It's over.
Oops, we just got kicked off. We're back on again. I had a little Wi-Fi
cannot
problem.
Wait until you see the ending of that recording because
oh no,
you were totally frozen and I was like, great, I'm doing the podcast. I was like, yeah, I get to say whatever I want. Wait until you hear it.
Yeah, well honey girl, do a podcast.
No. No, I need your help.
No, you need someone to listen physically. Like, I'm going to do my own personal podcast, but I just want you to sit there and listen if you don't mind.
But it's so funny. So this is how you pause. This is how you pause. You were just like, and I was like, is she joking? And then I literally did not see anything move. And I'm like, oh my God, she actually is totally paused right now. But yeah, I think we were just talking about giving ourselves the okay to just chill and hang out and take the nap if we wanted and just finding like the sacredness in that. Yeah, just I'm finding like, the balance.
That's what I want to say.
It's true though. It's true, you know, because we don't give our, we feel like we always need to like have this checklist of things that we need to do when it's.
Yeah. It's and so you know, sometimes way. We can overindulge in relaxation too. You know, it's not just, not just overindulging in the work, but also in relaxation. Actually, one of the things that when I started to learn about yin yoga, which is basically you're sitting in postures for long periods of time, but too much of yin yoga can actually make you depressed. So too much yin can actually make you depressed. Too much yin can make you depressed. Too much yang can make you too like nervous and jittery and, you know, on fire all the time. So it is about like finding that balance in everything, in your day, an hour, in, you know,
right.
You know, sometimes I've been guilty myself of overindulging in things reading a book and not wanting to put it down and just my whole life is the book, you know, or of course, you know, Netflix and chill, which is like, mm-hmm. I think I said this before, Netflix and die. die on the couch.
Right. Yes.
This life is so good because I'm doing a lot of stuff here, right?
Because we are literally avoiding something. We're avoiding something. We're avoiding ourselves. We're avoiding
cleaning
something that is so much more. That's so much more fulfilling other than sitting down and watching Netflix. Like no one says not to watch Netflix and do all that, but it's like, did you need to watch all four seasons of the show, or could you have given yourself a break? You know,
go to sleep for the night.
It's crazy, but I guess that goes back to the emotional attachment. Like I know I binge watch stuff because it's making me laugh. It's making me feel good. So I literally watch two seasons in one sitting, but then after the two seasons are over, I'm like sad again. Cause then it's over and I'm like, well now what, you know? So it's like,
that you mentioned that too, because I realized recently that I wasn't giving myself permission to be happy. So that was one of the reasons why I was like doing all of these external things to find the happiness. Like I was very happy before March last year, right, 2020.
Right.
And then it just kind of domino affected. It wasn't really like, yeah, there was stuff that I needed to like kind of get over and stuff like that. But just taking on all of this new knowledge with the news, with, you know, the fact that racism is alive pretty hardcore, mm-hmm. And especially mm-hmm. in some areas, and just being like, oh my God, I have to really deep dive into it. And it was deep diving and learning about the world and everything that was going on and the pain and the suffering and, you know, and it was overkill. It was overkill. Right. I'm sorry, I used that term, but overindulge. You know, what's the word? But it was too much. It was excess. And you know, recently, and I was watching the George Floyd. I was watching the George Floyd, the trial against mm-hmm. the person that, you know, whatever happened. I don't want to go into detail on that, but I was watching that. I wanted to watch everything because whatever the result was, I wanted to know that I didn't miss anything. So every day I would wake up like, what time is this coming on? I've got this and this to do, but that's going to be playing in the background. So I know. And then I started to realize, oh my gosh, what am I doing? I'm not living my life. I'm mm-hmm. miserable. Right. And then going to Philadelphia was great because you had to pull away from doing that thing that was making you sad repeatedly. But also, you know, because I want to have the knowledge, but I also know that you can't let it bring you down. You know, you have to.
Yes. You can't. You can't dwell in it. Right. You want to have the knowledge, but you can't make it like your life. You can't I know what you mean. Like there's got to be boundaries. That's the mm-hmm. word. Like right. there's got to be boundaries right. on
limitations, okay. right?
Limitations, yeah. right? Like okay, like I wanted to be educated enough. I wanted to know what happened with the case, but okay, done. Moving on. Like what, you know, because that too becomes an obsession. I remember there was a case. Oh my goodness, I totally forgot. But anyway, it was about a mother doing something terrible to her daughter. This was so many years ago. I followed this case as if I was like the cop on the case because I was so like, there. I needed to know. It was so great. And it didn't make me happy in any way. Like there was no sacredness in it. It made me more sad. It made me more just anxious for things. And it was not a good thing.
It was changing you, right? Changing mm-hmm. the world that you were creating for yourself. Yeah. And the vision of that you have. I mean, I think that we want to be honest with ourselves. We want to have truth. You know, it's very easy for you and I to be those type of people that would just be like, everything is cotton candy and fluff. And that's mm-hmm. yay, you know, at the same time, when you start to realize, no, not everything is cotton candy and fluff, then you can really do a deep dive and go kind of crazy with it. You know, like I know people love to listen to like that. There's like a criminal podcast or whatever. I can't do it. I can't watch all the criminal podcasts because then I start just feeling unhappy. I can't watch all the, there's that Dateline show.
Oh God, no. I'm like, they're out there.
I don't know how people do it. I can't, like, I watched Game of Thrones and then I just felt like I can't continue to watch shows like this. It's too much. It's too graphic for me. So you just like, even just taking a look at yourself and reflecting on how are these things that I'm doing in excess actually making me feel? How does it feel when I eat too much chocolate, maybe too much fruit, maybe too much, you know, whatever? How does that make me feel? You know,
right.
But it's constantly just reflecting on it, right?
Yes. And that's the thing. I think the overindulgence happens and the over excess happens because we are trying to reach a place of happiness. We're trying to reach something that sometimes we don't even know what, but we know that it's almost like we're running away from the right now, like what it is that we're trying to deal with right now. So what do? We have to find the sacredness in the mundane, you know, like we have to find the sacredness in the everyday thing around us, because if we don't, we're always going to be looking for more and reaching for more. So it's like, how do you find the sacredness? I mean, we talked about this. We say be grateful. All right, well, how do we be grateful? But like, when I think about everyday things, I think about myself, right? Right now I'm breathing without me literally having to tell my brain, okay, take the next breath. You know, like the way we're made so intricately is beautiful. It's sacred. I have an itch. I don't have to tell my brain to go take my hand, to go grab, you know, to go itch it. Like that's sacredness. That's beauty. The fact that grass grows literally every day, the fact that the sun, I know this sounds so like, oh my God, hoopla, but like, if you really sit and think about it, the fact that the sun comes up every single day, there's not somebody like pulling a string, you know, like that.
I'm sorry.
You know, like, you know what? Visualize that. You know, like, we forget to think about these things. We forget to think like, why are there so many different varieties of birds and bugs? And just like, cause we're always just thinking that, like you said before, we have to look we're looking for joy outside of us. Meanwhile, it's like, just look, literally just take a look at yourself. Like when you see a baby, I think in like the third or fourth month is when they start to realize that their hands are like an extension of themselves. And then like after so many other months, they realize that they are no longer attached to their mom, that they're actually a person apart from themselves. When you think about that, when you think about when a baby is inside the belly, they're already receiving or their brain cells is already like, you know, being grown. Like, yeah, does it take a while to get to that place to think of those things? Absolutely. But it's like, give yourself the time to think that way. Give yourself the time to stop and think of just look at yourself, find one amazing thing about it and be like, wow, that's amazing. And just right there,
always like seeing things as new, right? An opportunity for like something new, like even like looking at your hands in a different way.
Yes.
You know? Looking at your, and I think you know about this too, looking at your yoga practice with a beginner's mind, your running in a beginner's mind, just the day, waking up in the morning and really just experiencing that day. It's almost like we have to give ourselves permission to do that because we've been told for years and years that we don't have permission to do that because it's frou-frou or it's corny or it's, you know, just to sit there and smell the roses. We get told that that's cheesy, that's corny.
It's true though. Right. Yeah. So that's why we don't do it. And that's
beautiful
where we're
things we're not allowed to appreciate. Yes. You know, can only appreciate pain and ugly.
Right. And then what winds up happening, like in my case, like I know that your life will eventually stop you in your tracks. Like it will eventually hit you in the face, and then you'll be forced to go back to yourself, which is to try and find yourself back home. Like you'll be forced to do it one way or another. I feel like we all come to a point where it's like, okay, I have had enough. I've gone over, I've overindulged. What are you trying to teach me, life? You know, and it could be in this lifetime, it could be in your next lifetime. It depends on what you believe in, you know. But I mean, I do believe that if you keep going and you keep overindulging and you keep not being grateful for things, it's going to hit you. But some way, somehow, it's going to hit you.
That's what's going on with the world right now, honestly.
Yeah.
That's, you know, I hate for anybody to get mad at what I'm saying, but when, you know, coronavirus happened, when it hit America, when it then it started to hit all over the world, the one thing I thought of was, this is something that is on overdrive right now. Like, the world is on overdrive right now. People are on overdrive right now. We're not stopping to think, to smell the roses, to appreciate, to be grateful. We just keep telling each other, be grateful, like on social media, on this, but are we even doing it ourselves? It's almost like a popularity contest.
Yes.
And it's not genuine for our own self. You know, we should only be telling people what we're actually learning from our own experience at the present moment, not just telling everybody, this is what you have to do, you know, in order to have a good life. But there is a lot of excess in the world today. There's a lot of clutter that fills up the brain with clutter, and and so I feel like the world, nature, God wants us to go through a spiritual cleanse.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's not, it's hard to say, like, I don't want to also be like this person that's like, oh, this is so great, God's telling us this, because it's not that. I mean, I don't ignore the fact that, unfortunately, people are, you know, not benefiting from what's going on. But if it is a sign, then maybe we can all get together and say, you know what, this is a sign. We really got to look at this. We really got to look at what's going on in the world right now and see, are we making this world a better place? Mm-hmm. Are we taking care of the world? You know, it's not just the coronavirus, obviously. It's not, it's human behavior.
Mm-hmm.
It's the ozone layer, nature, how we treat our earth.
Right.
You know, there's so many things. Right. So it's our individual. So what are we doing to ourselves individually, you know? Because we have too much excess. Things are just too easy for us to get.
Things are too easy, and we are overstimulated. We are so overstimulated. I mean, we could find something to do at any time of the day and never have to sit with ourselves ever in all our life. Like, because, and there's just, and that's scary when you think about that. It's so scary when you think that, oh my God, I literally could be busy all the time. But like, what kind of personal satisfaction does it actually bring you? Like, we know what it's like. We've succeeded at things. We've gotten through checklists. We've gotten through goals, and we've reached them. And then we're like, all right, cool. Like,
yeah.
Like that feeling is now off. Now we're like, all right, well, what's next?
Have like this sensation, like this unlock the door of happiness.
Yes.
And
yes,
that's going to make everything okay. But you know,
instead, when you go the other way, you never stop indulging. When you go the other way, which is in the way of being grateful, you're always going to find something to be grateful for. Finding the sacredness, you're always going to find something to be sacred for. And when we go that route, even the route of yoga, you know, you're always learning in yoga. When you go the route of meditation, you're always learning in meditation. There's never an end point. There's never a point. That's why it's called a practice, right? Mm-hmm. There's never a point that you reach and you're like, all right, well, I'm certified, I'm good to go. You know, like, there's always, and I think that is the point of life. The point is to continue to grow, to continue to find out who you are, to continue to like gain knowledge. And it's, and when you've reached certain goals, like financial goals, you've gotten the house that you wanted, or you've gotten the car that you wanted, that's all external. That's nothing that's going to bring you internal, you know, gratitude,
freedom, even, you know, like freedom from, there was a quote by Madonna. This is so funny because I recently just watched a show about Madonna before she became famous, and it was amazing because my perception of Madonna is way different than who she actually is as a person. Like, I would think of Madonna as like an excess of sex and this and erotica. Mm-hmm. I don't know where this idea came to me, and I think it's just because this is like the way that people wanted us to view her because they don't want us to be free. I don't know, but basically what all of that sex stuff, she's actually not even like that. She's not like a sexaholic or anything like that. Not that I thought she was, but she's actually just expressing freedom, and you know, everything that she does is actually a work of art. It's not like, this is what I do when I go home, you know, I have all, you know, I walk around with cones on my boobs and everything, you know, art. This is self-expression. If you're afraid of this, it's because you're not free. So how can you free yourself more, you know?
And yeah, of, I like that.
Putting those walls up and being like, you know, you don't have to go home and walk around in cones, but like, can you allow yourself freedom? And we do tie ourselves down a lot, and we submerge ourselves in these attachments, these like, you know, bad habits or addictions. And then while we want freedom, we're actually losing our freedom to our own self. We're not even,
it's so true,
you know, allowing that. There was something you said, sitting with yourself. I just like that. I paused and then I went into, you know how I always have those epiphanies? I'm just sitting there. It's like my life is passing for with yourself. Sit with yourself. I love that.
Right. Yeah. But I love what you just said. Freedom. I think literally that's all we are. I think every single one of us is trying to attain freedom in one way or another. Mm-hmm. And freedom from what? I think it's literally freedom from, you know, we're definitely trying to reach peace, but I think freedom from our everyday struggles, freedom from just to be free, like, you know, a caged animal, right? They're always looking to be free. We are, in a sense, caged animals when we overindulge in things, when we overexcess, when we are going off checklists, like we are not free, you know?
Even on that, like, where our brains are caged, so we seek freedom in the overindulgent because we think now we're taking our power back. But what we're actually doing is
avoiding, exactly. You know? We are trying to free ourselves from control. We don't want to be controlled. Mm-hmm. So in order to not be controlled, we're trying to find freedom. And I think that was, you know, if we want to take this like religiously, I think that was God's big plan. You know, When I look at it, I think he created us, and he created us freely in freedom. He told, you know, I know this is might turn off some, but this is just my belief. I'm not saying it's everybody else's belief. My belief is when he created Adam and Eve, he said, you can roam around the earth freely as you like. That's all your only job is to do what you want, be happy, do what you want, find joy. And not even find joy. They were already joyous. You're free to do what you want. And I think we're always looking to go to that freedom. And it wasn't enough for them, right? Because I mean, if we go into the story, there's other things, but
it's like, almost like you do also, while you're having the freedom, you also have that limitation, right?
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
Like, just don't do this one thing.
Right. But it's true, because it's like the freedom should be within where you are now, you know what I mean? Like, find freedom where you're standing right now, as opposed to looking for it outside of yourself, you know?
Like, what is the thing that actually traps us, you know? And a lot of
I think our judgment. Stories.
Yeah.
Yeah, judgment, it's our stories.
Fear, being attached to the stories that we were told.
Mm-hmm.
Allowing ourselves to believe what other people say instead of setting our own, you know, making our own mind up. And then just following like lemmings.
I'm like lemons. I'm
like lemons. They're delicious and citrusy and sour.
But yeah, it's total freedom from our stories and our judgments and our guilt and our shame. And yeah, like that feeling of freedom. Like you watch a kid, like, you know, running the playground, like as if like he's got, you know, there's nothing stopping him. Like that's such a wonderful feeling, you know?
Don't mind me. I'm taking my blouse off now. I just want to be free. No.
Right. But I mean,
your mouth just dropped. You're like, no.
I'm like, that is not the kind of podcast we're trying to put out there.
But no, seriously, if you are listening to this, take off your shirt and be free. Why not?
Well, listen, I wish I was free like that. Didn't they burn their bras or something because they wanted to free themselves up? And yeah, I think we hit the nail on the head on this one. People,
this is all about burning your bras.
I think we're trying to find our freedom.
Let the boob free. Is that what the free the boob?
But going back to
I think access. Everybody would be happy with that, honestly. But
I think so. Then. They're like, is there a YouTube on that podcast?
Oh God.
Oh man. But yeah, I think.
Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
No, what were you gonna say?
I was gonna say that I forgot to tell you what the actual quote that Madonna said was, which was there's a quote she said, it says, "We are not here to be popular, we are here to be free." So
there you go.
I interpret that, and I'm going to force my interpretation on you just so that you understand where I'm coming from when I bring that up. The whole like, yeah, we're not here to be popular. Of course, we might think the first thing is, oh, social media, everybody wants to be popular on that. But I think it goes far of, we're not here to please everyone, to be popular and please everyone. We're here because we can't please everyone. We're here to be free. Not everybody's going to agree with our own personal freedom, but that doesn't mean that we shouldn't be free. It's important to be free. And of course, you know, what is freedom? You know, you also have to respect people, so don't overindulge.
right. Yeah, no, it's true though. It's like, don't overindulge and yeah, and find freedom.
Me too,
I think. No, I don't hear it. But yeah, I mean, it's and just don't be afraid. I can't say don't be afraid. Obviously, it's a scary thing, but I can tell you from standing on the other side of it, it is scary to sit with yourself. It is scary to sit with your fears. It is scary to sit with your body and listen to what your body's trying to tell you, mm-hmm. because you think, well, my body can't be right. My head is telling me this. So why am I listening to my body? But when your head is telling you something, it's usually your ego talking to you. Mm-hmm. And you should instead be listening to your body. You should instead be listening to your heart. And we do have enough. Every day we wake up literally having enough. We talked about this in our other podcast. There is enough. There is enough water. And it's unfortunate because there is the stealers that we talked about in our one podcast. And then we have these that are overindulging and are taking away from maybe those that don't have enough, and that's why we have poverty in the world. That's why we have homeless people, is because there are people that are taking away from other people. You know, when you think about
selfishness.
Just like, you know, like there's enough to go around. This world is created to have enough to go around. Yeah. Think about those that are getting paid millions of dollars. I mean, please, no offense to any sports fans out there, but they're getting paid millions of dollars to hit a bat to the ball. I mean, why? We have teachers that are trying to educate children and they're getting paid, I don't even know, 30,000, 40, 50,000 a year, you know? So it's in those terms that I think there's something imbalanced with the world when I think about things like that. You know, when I think about, you know what's funny, speaking of overindulgence. So I went to an Indian restaurant, and I was taught, they told me when I sat down to eat, that it is disrespectful to not eat everything off my plate. But because when they give you the food, so when I went to this restaurant, it was buffet style, but basically the rules were, don't overput so many things on your plate.
Just
put enough that you think you're going to eat. And if you want more, then you'll go back. Because if you leave it on the plate, it's like a sign of disrespect. Like, mm-hmm. because now we're just throwing food away that's completely you know, not cool.
Yes. So, yeah. I like that. I actually know of a person that always wants seconds and never finishes the seconds. Oh. And then you're just looking at there. My husband has a heart attack. He's like, I'm staring at wasted food.
Yeah,
and
I, yeah.
You're not going to touch that afterwards. And you're
right.
That's like his biggest pet peeve, you know, because he comes from, you know, he's got a full family, you know, what does he have? 3 siblings.
Right.
He comes from a place where you don't waste, yes. you know, yes. food, because you have to be able to feed other people and you know, take pride in that, even in the kindness of not overfilling your plate up too, you know,
with and like, come on, let's go back to COVID and like last year people were crazy, but
I'm just kidding,
how many asses were you trying to wipe with the 40 million rolls of toilet paper?
That's right.
What is wrong? Like the fact that we went into supermarkets and we had limits on the things that we could buy because people were, it was complete over excess. I'm like, where are we, what are we doing? Like be a neighbor.
That is a perfect point, honestly.
Yeah, like because, a neighbor and be like, oh, well, I have 4 people living in my house. I could do with like 6 rolls. And then the next person come in and be like, all right, I only need 4. Like, just, it drives me crazy.
Yeah.
That whole thing drove me crazy. Yeah.
When you overindulge, when you take too much, you're again like taking away from what somebody else can have, then the rest of the world doesn't get to enjoy it, right. or be happy or have ease, you know, because you decided that you need all of this stuff, and that's not even gonna fulfill you, that's not gonna make you happy, you know, it's not gonna,
yeah, it just means it actually what happens in a situation where you have too much, like, okay, this is gonna sound gross in a way, but like, you have the toilet paper, right? So you say to yourself, I've got 70 other rolls in my closet. Let me just like take like 40 turns of this roll of toilet paper into my, you know, hand to wipe myself.
Oh, right.
You know, like you overdo it. Like my daughter has this thing sometimes where she will take a piece of paper, write on it, you know, and be like, oh, I don't like the way it came. So she'll crumble it up. I'm like, crumbling it up. I'm like, turn it over. Like, what are we doing? Like, there's just, you know, we're killing the trees. You know, I know this sounds very hoopla, but it just like
this,
it does. It just becomes so much.
There's 2 sides to every paper.
Right.
You can turn the paper around.
Right. And it just, it honestly just takes a moment. It takes a moment for you to stop and say, am I overindulging? Do I really need, you know, the 4 packs of cookies? Am I, you know, like, couldn't I just come back to the supermarket? You know what I mean? Like, it just,
yeah. And you know what? So just to kind of like wrap up the episode and what it's about, it is about, you know, just allowing yourself to have limitations and not being afraid of those limitations and just being able to go, you know, you're going to feel a lot better if you're not overindulging. You're going to feel better if you're able to reflect and go, okay, I'm going to stop this and I'm going to go and do something different, something healthier maybe, or something more fun. You know, if you're something to keep the balance in your life, and you're going to feel more content with yourself. You're going to feel like, okay, I'm a good person. I'm a happy person. I like myself, you know, and that's kind of like what I guess my final thoughts on this kind of topic is.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with you on that.
And I think there are times when in your life where you can actually look back and go, oh, well, I had that in excess. Yeah, I've had moments in my 20s where I did things in excess. And I needed to do them at that moment because I needed to learn, you know, and then realize, oh, that's not the fulfillment of happiness to do that.
Right.
Or maybe it was at the time.
Or maybe it was, but it's, you know, I go back to what you had said before and we've mentioned before, just, I think my big takeaway is your body will never lie to you. Like, it will tell you when you're sick. It will tell you how, it knows how to get better. It will tell you when you've had enough. It will tell you when you need more. Just listen to it. Don't listen to anything outside of you. And it will steer you. It will steer you in the right direction. Your body will steer you in the right direction. Your heart will steer you in the right direction, because it really, that is your truth over there. So don't be afraid to listen to it, even if it brings you to a scary place. But sometimes you got to go through the scary to get to the, you know, to get to the other side. So
yeah. Scary places are not the worst place to be.
Right. Right. Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
So let's just basically talk about really quick next week's episode on fifth yama. Yeah. Aparigraha. I'm saying it with like an Italian. Graha. Aparigraha. Non-greed. This is the one about non-attachment. Am I correct on that? Non-hoarding. So we're going to be talking about that, you know, just, this is, you know, it's all kind of like, all the yamas are just kind of like, they basically are allowing yourself to realize you can have less. You don't have to have so much. You can have less. And when you have less, and when you allow yourself less, you are finding your way to happiness, because you're not cluttering your happiness with the external stuff, that the superficial stuff. You can have that stuff, but just don't have it in excess. You don't have to have it all.
Right. Right.
Have something special.
Right. Yeah. Right. Right. Cool. Well, I'm excited. Cool. I'm glad that we did this.
Yeah, me too.
And I hope you tune in for our next podcast.
All righty. I definitely will. Okay. All right. I'll see you at Cadence's birthday party.
I'm looking forward to it. Yes.
All right, cool. Okay. I'll talk to you later.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
I just hung up the phone.